This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Cliff Central, the Gareth Cliff Show, Tuesday morning. It's 28th of November. And that means, it just means it's very late in November, which would freak Gareth out. Can't deal with time. Hey, Mabs.
He does seem to be very attached to the way that time moves on the calendar.
Yeah. So he's overstepped a little bit. So here I am. Hi, my name is Ben Karpinski. And here is Sia Sangweni.
Hi, Ben Karpinski. I am Sia Sangweni.
Yeah, just like you were yesterday. And then Amanda, check 1, 2.
Hi.
See, it works when I'm here.
Ah.
So Amanda's got a bit of a, I wouldn't say a life conundrum or a life problem, but she wants to try something different and she wants to go fishing. But she's finding it difficult. Now, Amanda, you have two criteria for fishing. You want to find a place that you could firstly catch fish, and secondly, you want to go to a place where you're not going to get raped.
Exactly.
So have you managed to find a spot that you feel happy with yet?
No, not really. No.
Wait, where does this come from, all of a Saturday?
It's just like my friend and I, we need something different to do this December, so we want to try going fishing.
Okay.
We tried the tennis route, ain't working, so now we want to try fishing.
She also tried the golf route, and then she sort of gave me a long story, which I zoned out of. So I'm happy that she's tried fishing.
So, I mean, have you ever handled, what do they call it, tackle? Or
my bully behave.
No, I mean, have you ever handled any of that squishy stuff?
The fish?
No, the bait.
What you catch the fish with.
No.
You don't just stand next to the lake and go, here, fishy, fishy.
I know. No, we haven't. So we're really starting from the start. So we've got the basics, the rods, and a little bit of bread for the end. And
bread for the end. You're catching a scallopad here, Amanda.
You can put bread on the bottom, it said, as the bait or whatever.
Okay, so have you had any, take us through your last experience of trying to find this.
So yesterday we were like, okay, 3 o'clock, we're going to go fishing. So pack the car, hub, speaker.
Oh, essentials.
Rod. So we get in the car, off we go to this place called Galuli's. I don't actually know if you're allowed to fish there, but we didn't even start because it was empty and this place is huge. So then we were like, this is not safe, you know?
Yeah, see, there goes to your second criteria of fishing.
Exactly. So then we just played some Venger Boys and left.
Venger Boys.
What's their most popular song, which is back in
boom, boom, boom.
I want you in my room. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, that is so bad, Amanda.
Can you just picture this? Cruising around the east side. There's
in a Mini
car,
Cooper.
In a Mini Cooper, which is hotbox with a hubbly. With Venger Boys coming out.
That is bad on so many levels.
I mean, you pull her over and fine her for being fabulous at this stage.
That's one odd way to look at it.
Okay, so if you live in the greater Gauteng area, preferably in the east side, because we know we have lots of East Randers listening to us, you can WhatsApp us on 0797482090 and maybe give Amanda some tips about where to go fishing, where it is safe and she can fish. Or at least just tell her what to put on the end of her rod, because I'm pretty sure brown braid is not going to really cut it.
Yeah, look, I know nothing about fishing, but I'm willing to bet that bread is not the way.
But then we started doing something better. So then we were like, okay, well, the fishing didn't go well today. So now we're going to try build a 1,000-piece puzzle.
What?
And it was
so much fun. Were you guys so bored yesterday?
We're just trying new things, you know? We can't just keep... we're getting old now, so we can't just keep clubbing all the time. And there's no clubs open in daytime anyway. So we need something else to do. So now we just sat drinking champagne, Venger Boys again, and building this puzzle for probably 4 hours. And in that 4 hours, we only put 6 pieces together of this 1,000-piece puzzle.
Oh, Amanda, this is like a parallel universe. It's a Monday, and you're listening to Venger Boys making a puzzle, cruising around with your friends. This is fantastic. This is a life I've never known, even when I was your age, I think. Which was quite a long time ago.
I don't know about you guys, but to me, free time means doing nothing at all. Even with the upcoming little break we're going to take in December, I am looking forward to to just spending every day in my PJs, like forgetting what day it is, what the date is, and only just stuff my face on Christmas. That's about it.
Mm.
You know?
Look, people relax in different ways. For some people, it's about you, or the same as you, doing absolutely nothing. For others, it's an opportunity for them to try out those new things that they've always wanted to check off their list. Because otherwise, when else do they get to do it?
Don't you get overwhelmed, though, when you're planning a trip or, you know, with family or friends, and then there's that one guy who comes with a whole full-blown itinerary? It's like, no, I'm not going to wake up at 6:30 on my holiday.
No, I kind of I kind of unfriended those people systematically through my life. I don't have a single one of them.
You don't need that sort of negativity in your life.
No, exactly.
I don't think I've ever had like a relaxing holiday where I've done nothing. Because where we tend to go on holiday in December, we have to like almost wake up at like 5:30 just to go reserve a pool lounger.
Yeah, see, these are essentials.
See, there's always stuff to do, so it's never actually just chill.
Yeah, but guys, like, everyone has this thing, like, oh, I just want to do nothing, but no one does nothing. No one just stares at a ceiling, right? We don't go into sleep mode like computers. Our doing nothing means we're not doing work. So your nothing could be fishing. See, your nothing's obviously going to be Oprah and hand moisturizer.
I lunch a lot. I breakfast, brunch, lunch, boozy lunch, then dinner.
It's so unfair.
Yeah. Well, whatever your strategy is for the holidays, it is getting really, really close because it's 28th November. So make sure if I WhatsApp, always late, you motherfuckers. Well.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, deal with it.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to get talking about, like, this has just been a really great TV year. I feel like Rick and Morty came back and it was really good. Stranger Things was really good. I got caught up in that hype and I loved the show. I thought it was really fantastic. But now it gets towards the end of the year and you do more outdoorsy stuff, but you've got to have like a show that you've got. Like, you've always need to have a show. It's like, I imagine if you're single and you always need to have a bit of loose on the side.
Mm. Okay.
So you bank on a show. So Daniel and I started watching The Sinner with Jessica Biel.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone seen that?
Oh, yeah. I just finished it.
You just finished it?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, how did you get through that?
It is juicy.
Ah, okay.
Absolutely juicy.
So we've watched 3 episodes, so we're getting into it slowly but surely. But I can't stop thinking about, like, Jessica Biel. Did she take this role because she wants to become known as, like, a serious actress? Because it's a raw show. I mean, she looks like crap the whole way through. I'm not saying that she shouldn't look in different ways, but for where she's been as an actress so far to this kind of role, it's, like, it's hardcore. Like, it's really, really rough.
Yeah. And just to bring everyone to speed, The Sinner is this 8-part miniseries. It follows the character of Jessica Biel, and she's a suburban housewife, has a son, loving relationship in the suburbs somewhere in America. And all of a Saturday, on one pleasant morning when they were at the beach, she kills this random dude, like, in front of everyone. So the series is about discovering
By the way, this isn't a spoiler. This is kind of how the show is amped.
That's how it starts. So we're trying to figure out why she kills this person. Oh, you'll like it, Ben.
Look, it's an interesting question you ask, because when was the last time Jessica Biel was in anything prior to this show?
I just remember her being that really annoying chick with a clipboard in the A-Team.
Oh, was she? Because after...
She always struck me as an annoying chick with a clipboard. She's just got that way about her. She's that person who says, okay, right, it's 5:15, we're going to be here, we're going to do this.
I group her with Gwyneth Paltrow, actually.
That's unfortunate.
Like, on the boring scale.
That's harsh.
Oh, yeah, I get it. I get it.
But she's married to Justin Timberlake, so she's got the cred from that. Maybe she went to so many parties and was like, I'm so tired of Justin Timberlake being my husband, being like the top thing. I want to be in a show where I get like batshit crazy and kill a guy.
Yeah.
And hey, the show doesn't exist, so I'll produce it.
Yeah, exactly. Because she's the executive producer on this as well. Mm-hmm. Although I'm never fully kind of sold on this whole stars become executive producer, because, I mean, you can always just strap on that title.
Yes, this is true. We know this to be the case with a lot of people, so...
I mean, like, she could literally...
Take it with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, I mean, like, she could literally have arranged a lunch meeting with a couple of people, and you're essentially a producer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Title rights. I'm sure there's something like that in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I want title rights to XYZ.
Yeah, when you become a director, that's a thing.
Yes, because then you're actually doing something.
Because you can't throw money at that situation. But let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she was there and planning things and actually involved.
Didn't she win a whole bunch of Emmys for this show? Well, not a whole bunch, but I mean, she won something or two.
I wonder. I don't know, but yeah, I think I'd put that up there definitely as good holiday viewing. I'm still surprised that you guys didn't jump onto the Oscar Pistorius movie train with me.
I still haven't seen it. I want to. It's on the list.
Great holiday.
Amanda, have you seen this after playing puzzles?
This was before Ben, when I was serious. I watched it last week, and I actually thought it was quite hectic. People are saying that it's rubbish, but it was nice to watch.
She said it's the worst film review I've ever heard in my entire life.
No, but everyone's saying that, no, it's crap, the actors, blah, 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 but I actually thought it was really good, yeah.
Yeah, but look, it's when you've got a certain amount of budget, and I was going to get back to The Sinner, and what I think so far isn't so great, is that it looks like one of those daytime dramas that kind of goes onto that America...
Lifetime
kind of thing. It's the same with the Oscar movie. It's produced by people who make those Hallmark Lifetime kind of shows. Mm-hmm. So it's got like a certain grain to it. It's got like those actresses and actors that are kind of, you'll never see them again. Like in The Sinner, there's a guy called Mason who's just a poor man's Jon Snow.
Do you think that's a deliberate decision to do it that way, or is it a genuine budget restriction?
Well, Mabs, you would know more about this than any of us put together, but I think it's purely a money thing. They just can't afford better people.
Mm. I think we know no one in The Sin except for Jessica Biel.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And all the folk. No, wait, that Brian Pullman guy?
Is that her husband in the show?
Is his name Brian Pullman?
Oh, no, wait. The old guy, the detective.
The detective.
Oh, he is a somebody.
Oh, I don't know.
I just can't remember his name.
He's a somebody. Look, he was never in anything overly fantastic, but he is definitely a somebody. You look at him and go, that guy.
Yes. I just know he's a freak in The Sinner, that's all.
Yeah, he's into that whole, like, sexual dominance thing.
Mm.
Again, this is no spoiler. I mean, it's just one of those quirks. But, but he's the kind of guy that he likes women to, like, beat him up and belittle him.
Mm-hmm.
Which... again, it's like all these shows have these little kind of side things. I'm not sure if it's like a necessary side show. Although maybe, and this is what I haven't found out yet, again, this is no spoiler, but maybe it's an undertone in the show which ties into the bigger picture. Yeah.
Are you trying to piece it together, Mama?
There's a lot going on in my head here. Okay, so Gareth will be with us in a little bit, but the show goes on as per usual. Sia, what have we got to look forward to in the interview hour today?
Well, this morning we have a replay of Newo Mashego, who came into studio a few months ago. So because it's so nice, we'll play it twice. We'll be playing that at 8.
Yeah, see, the thing is, we understand that you can't listen to every single minute of the show with us, and as much as it hurt us in the beginning, we got over it. So some of these replays that we have, you know, it could be the very first time you listen to it, of course, which is why we have such fantastic guests, because you can listen to it over and over, or it'll just come back at you like today. But Amanda's also got a fantastic general knowledge quiz today. Amanda, are there prizes?
Guys, I forgot the prizes, which is very disappointing, but we will be playing for one big prize only.
Oh. Okay.
So whoever wins, it's a serious prize this time.
If you dare give us something lying around your general office area, I'm going to be upset.
I don't know, Amanda. I've been perfectly fine with the prizes that you've been distributing to late. You know, didn't somebody win a bottle of vodka the other time?
Some whiskey, yes.
Sorry, some whiskey.
Where was I when this was going on?
Oh, sure.
You decided to golf.
You were
you guys are lying.
No.
I wasn't here. So, I remember the last time when we had that like magnum of champagne.
It was a Friday. I got the whiskey and I had a very interesting work day after this. That was fun.
So that's what we look forward to today, and it is a Tuesday, and Gareth will be here shortly. But get over to the messages, of course, messages anytime, or on the WeChat platform, the Cliff Central official account there. But buddy, your attitude stinks, apparently.
Okay.
And if Sia says all of a Saturday one more time, I'm coming over there to slap him.
All of a Saturday is a good thing.
Oh, see, you're going to get slapped.
Because all of a sudden is so 2012.
Okay, well, look, that's how violence starts, yeah? People warn you, you poke the bear, and then that's how it happens. I haven't got your back on this one.
So you're just going to let him get his ass kicked?
Well, there was fair warning, was there not?
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having my back.
Oh, loyalties, okay. Ben.
Well, the person who is going to slap probably comes through today, because if he comes through tomorrow, Gord will definitely have Sia's back.
Oh, this is true.
Sia is Gord's favorite.
He is, absolutely.
Actually, no, don't bring this up, because you know it's at least like an 18-minute PowerPoint presentation, because, you know, Gord secretly likes you.
Sorry, I lost interest halfway through that.
He secretly likes you. It's quite the truth. But anyway.
Okay, so we got to crack on with the show. There's, I know Gareth talks about this, and this is one thing I really enjoy talking about, but this whole cryptocurrency thing, I feel like it's just, it's all consuming with people nowadays, because obviously with the downgrading, this country is becoming more and more junk. I think they should just, once you get into junk, there should just be a toilet rating, and they just tell you what, like, the depth of the toilet that you're in.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So people are now putting a lot of faith in cryptocurrency, obviously, because it's not governed by terrible decisions and rating agencies. Cryptocurrency, as much as Anthea says it's for criminals, she might not have said those exact words, but it's basically, people have a lot more sort of, it feels more of a tangible. So as the Rand, who knows what's going to happen with the Rand in the next 6 months? Anthea, again, giving us information that it could be, well, up and down. You know, it's going to be volatile. But the cryptocurrency, people are going like, oh, but everywhere you go, you've got to have a crypto story, huh? Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know, when you start mouthing off words like cryptocurrency and Ethereum and this and that, you suddenly start to feel like, hey, you know what? I think I'm coming across as more intelligent than I used to.
Exactly.
And nobody wants to get left behind in the intelligence conversation.
Exactly. So it's just like those people who boast about the schools they went to. And you can stop dropping things like, yeah, but Ethereum was up like 20% this week. And they're like, oh, you get into crypto. You must be intelligent and smart.
Yeah.
And rich. Meanwhile, you got like $500 in the Luna account. And you're like, yeah, I'm killing it. Screw the Rand. Screw Zuma. I've got crypto. But it's on to the five things you need to know today, other than just my general jibber-jabber around the cryptos. And, of course, that is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Colcacchio has stepped up their vegan range, Sia. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Bringing their unique slice of Italian-inspired deliciousness to their dairy-free friends. That is Sia and so many other people. You can build your own vegan pizza or choose a pizza from their new menu selection. Available at Colcacchio Pizzeria stores nationwide. And I know, because I tried to be a dairy-free friend for a while, and I always hated having to go to these really sort of floppy restaurants where it always smelled a bit funny and everyone looked a little bit malnourished. But thanks to Colcacchio, you can go to a place where normal people go to and you can still have your vegan options. Talk about a win. What have we got, Mabali Malloy?
All right. Well, it is a big day for the president of Kenya today. Uhuru Kenyatta is due to be sworn in for his second term today. The inauguration was delayed by two disputed polls and a series of sometimes deadly street protests. At the same time that the president is going to assume his position, the opposition leader, Raila Odinga, has promised to hold a memorial rally that's going to be honoring the more than 50 people who were killed, mostly by police, in the 4 months of political upheaval that has left the country deeply divided.
Yeah, not the greatest advert for democracy right now.
Not right now. And on the back of, you know, Robert Mugabe being ousted after his 37-year tenure, this kind of just takes us back a little bit.
Yeah.
So around 13 mostly African heads of state are expected to attend the ceremony today. It will be happening at a Nairobi stadium, where the 56-year-old Kenyatta will be sworn in for his second and final five-year term. So Uhuru Kenyatta assumes the position.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then back here at home, environmental organizations are going to be returning to the Western Cape High Court tomorrow for an urgent interdict to stop any of government's nuclear procurement plans unless a compromise can be reached by their legal teams. Now, the new energy minister, David Mahlobo, already wrote to Parliament saying that he has reiterated that there is no nuclear energy deal in place, and that he is not looking to expedite one. But environmental organizations are not convinced. EarthLife Africa and the Southern African Faith Communities Environment Institute say that it's necessary to head to the courts again to confirm his commitment that public participation will be held before any procurement process begins. I don't know, why else, you know, has Vlad and his crew, you know, kind of had their tentacles in South Africa, if not for some other kind
of... Well, see, Mubs, you don't want to sound cynical, but it's a very good question, to which the answer is exactly why else would they be here?
That's a valid question. Otherwise, all we've got to go on for now is our energy minister's word, and he says there is no nuclear deal. So, I don't know. They will have to all battle it out in court tomorrow because environmental organizations want this to be confirmed.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest that Flood's here to check up on the well-being of the strippers in the general Gauteng area.
Oh, no. I don't think he...
I think once you leave Russia, you're on your own.
Yeah. All right, and then in some international news, Australian police have arrested a man that they allege was planning to carry out a terror attack during New Year's Eve celebrations in Melbourne. The 20-year-old man will be charged with terrorism offences. They carry a maximum penalty of life in prison, according to authorities. And police allege that the man had planned to shoot people with an automatic gun at Federation Square in the city centre. At the moment, it was just the one arrest that was made. No other suspects are linked to this supposed terror attack that was going to be executed on New Year's Eve.
It's just kind of horrible when you think about this. You think like, well, I want to go party at New Year's, but you want to kind of stay away from crowds? I mean, even if you've got some mild paranoia, that's going to be your mindset.
Yeah, exactly. And remember, a couple of days ago, I told you about that lawsuit that's now happening in Las Vegas.
Of course, yeah, because they weren't protected from the shooter.
Exactly, because, you know, those lawyers are saying, hey, if I go to a public venue and I'm attending a concert, then the people, the organizers in charge of that concert are technically responsible for my well-being. So now all sorts of lawsuits are going to be playing out with that story.
I reckon if there's an earthquake, those same lawyers will try to sue, I don't know, higher power or something.
Probably, yes. All right, and then finally, a whole bunch of side chicks, ex-girlfriends, hopeful girls probably had their little hearts shattered yesterday when it was announced that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are now engaged. Oh, boy, it was such a big deal as the news unfolded yesterday. The royal engagement was announced via social media yesterday morning after all palace staff were summoned to Queen Elizabeth's London residence for an important meeting on the Friday before.
They were summoned just to kind of confirm that Harry's mother-in-law is indeed a black woman. She's like, hold my gin. What the heck?
Yeah,
a yoga instructor of all things, Nochal.
Yoga instructor.
Yep.
What is
that? Black
that?
Woman with dreadlocks. The Queen must have fallen so hard off her chair.
Yeah, she must have needed to be resuscitated at some point.
You've really done it now, Harry.
So then, following that initial announcement on social media, the couple then made their first official appearance as an engaged couple at the Sunken Gardens at Kensington Palace. There was a whole photo shoot that ensued. They've already also done their first public interview. So it's on, folks. And shame. You have to feel a little bit sorry for all those side chicks that feel like they still had a chance.
Well, I mean, look, I'm no genealogist or genealogist, whatever. This is more Gareth's expertise. But when you're brought up in a certain kind of aristocracy in England, Harry is one of the targets. Mm-hmm. So if your daughter is Charlotte Tompkins, Longtree, Willow Barrow Pear,
yes,
she's meant to be marrying someone of that sort of ilk. So now this woman with black background comes into the mix. I mean, can you imagine the talk of the dinner parties right now?
Oh, Ben, but that's not her only problem. She's also American, which a lot of people hate.
Outrageous.
I mean, really.
Lest we forget she's also divorced.
No.
See now, I mean, really, Harry.
You
could have done better.
Yesterday, I was sitting there like it was back in 2008 when Barack Obama won the elections. I was chanting, yes, we can. There is hope for all of us.
Yep, and those are the five things that you need to know this morning.
Well, spare a thought for all those women who probably have children with about four fingers in a few generations' time. You know, that gene pool, it needs... I mean, look, hats off to Harry. Harry's doing wonders for that gene pool. Because they obviously will have a child, essentially. Harry, I think Harry would be a good dad.
He's a
good bloke,
child.
As they say.
It will be a Swahili child. Let's see.
Well, with some ging in there as well.
Talk about diversity, actually. They're the poster children.
I mean, look, I think if the royals are screwed now. I mean, the queen is probably being resuscitated as we speak. So so this child might as well be the king of England. A swirly child is here, said, with some ging in it. This is the future king of England.
Yep.
We don't want William and his middle class wife's children to be the king.
No. Like,
George and what are the other ones called?
Emily.
Exactly. Okay. No one cares. We've already forgotten. Anyway, it is time to get into the sport. Thanks, Mab. So your five things you need to know, brought to you by Kolkakia Pizzeria. Same again tomorrow. Yeah, I don't have my sports music. So I'm actually just playing this freehand. Yeah, so your sport today. Well, we all know that England are in deep trouble down in Australia for the Ashes. So Ben Stokes, who we all know was defending someone's honour, the homophobic thing, although he was actually defending his friend who was getting a blowjob. So he has been rumoured that he'll be on his way to Australia because he was spotted at the airport yesterday. So Ben Stokes is from New Zealand. So the ECB are very quick to say, no, he's just going to go visit his family in New Zealand. But he was destined for that part of the world. So speculation is that he's going to go there and then he's just going to end up start playing. But this is exactly what the drama that this Ashes series needs, because right now, Australia won the first test. That was always going to happen. But the big drama is that Johnny Bairstow apparently headbutted the opening batsman, Bancroft. Oh. Although it's been seen as nothing more than a comical bash of heads, more of affection than anything else. But the press are just ramping this up in a huge degree. It happened earlier in the tour when they were in Perth, but now it's a thing. So the fact that this has become a story just goes to show how badly this series needs Ben Stokes, because at least when he's there, there will be a proper fight, or there will be a proper altercation. This accidental clashing of heads, which is now being called a headbutt, ugh, come on, it's tired. You can do better. We can all do better. So I'll keep posting that story. In golf, this is the big week for golf news, because Tiger Woods, and I hate saying these words because we say it every year, Tiger Woods is back. He's come back from another injury, and this time it's going to be different. God, I just get tired even mentioning these words. But it is going to be different, because he's apparently been playing golf with a whole bunch of people. Donald Trump said, because he played golf with Donald Trump last week, Donald says he's been driving it past Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson hits the ball a long way, and he's the current world number one in golf.
Okay.
Now, this is what they call hype, and I believe it's all bollocks. So I asked Mr. Gary Player what he thought, well, what inspiration he could possibly have for Tiger Woods at this stage of his career.
Climbing Everest now.
Gary, hold on. Let me get back to the beginning here. Always jumping the gun is Mr. Player.
I don't really have any advice for him now. I don't have any advice because he's got a monumental... He's climbing Everest now. Whereas he had a downhill Everest, he's climbing Everest now. You know, he's had problems, a lot of problems. And to get over those, well, we're all praying that Tiger Woods come back, because Tiger Woods is one of the main reasons that the players are playing for this money today. One of the reasons, largely, is Tiger Woods. And there's nobody playing today, please believe me, nobody playing today that is in Tiger Woods' class at his prime. I mean, this guy was phenomenal, phenomenal. If he never had all his problems, he would have unquestionably gone down as the greatest player that ever lived. Can he achieve that now? I don't know. Every golfer with any sanity it is, would hope that Tiger Woods comes back and plays well.
So do you hear how despondent Mr. Player is? And that's Mr. Player talking about Tiger Woods. So his chances of coming back and staying at the top, or even getting close to the middle, just less than nothing. I mean, you guys heard that. There was despair in the voice of Mr. Gary Player there.
Uh-huh. Sorry, what exactly is Tiger Woods' problem? How does the age thing affect a golfer? Because technically, can't you keep playing golf until you're 1,005?
Indeed, with your mates over a couple of beers. Professional golf is like any other professional sport. You really need to be like mentally, physically charged up, focused, and very capable to fire at a moment's notice. So Tiger, mentally, he's about 80. You know, everyone thinks that the life of call girls and, like, you know, late nights and that kind of stuff is glamorous. That will age you quickly. Quickly. Mm-hmm. Ask any playboy, anybody who's ever thrown his keys into a bowl of life, metaphorically. That will age the crap out of you.
Wow.
Mr. Play is 82, and him and his lovely wife Vivian have been married for, well, forever.
Mm.
And look at him. He's still going. Tiger, on the other hand, you know, taking all those other drugs and auto asphyxiation, allegedly, those things will always tire you out. So Tiger can come back and he can swing a club, but you've got to maintain the whole time. So it's not like a golf tournament, so much goes into it. You play three or four golf tournaments with all the press and media kind of attention around him, you'll be so drained. So, yeah, let's just say our hopes aren't there. But he comes back. It's the Hero World something or other. It's his tournament. So it's an 18-man field. There's no cut. It's in the Bahamas. It's nice and chilled. The weather's perfect. So Tiger will, well, he always tries to come back at this event because he knows it's the easiest event he can play. But when things get a little bit tougher, he's got to go out into the general public. Because you're not going to get people going to the Bahamas and give him the usual shitty one-liners like, hey, Tiger, you crashed your car today. Because that's what people do. Golfing crowds in America, people are very common. So on to the next story, which is the Russian doping. Now, we all know the Russians dope badly.
Well, I mean, they've kind of set the bar there, haven't they?
Well, we can never forget that Sochi shitstorm of 2014 where it was state-funded, state-supported doping. That's when you know it's really badly. Don't go on really badly. So five more Russian athletes have been banned from the Olympics for life. For life. They are Sergei Chadinov, Alexei Negodalio. Alexei.
Ben?
Yeah.
Negodalo?
You're going to hurt yourself?
Dimitri. Just remember who's in the room.
Guys, we have some respect for these Russians while I go through the names.
Nigga who?
Dmitry Trenenikov. Yana Romanov and Olga Vilikina have all been banned for life.
There had to be an Olga.
Obviously. All been banned for life. So the McLaren report was just the most damning of all reports to say that this is basically one systematic and strategic doping operation which has just scarred the Olympic movement. And it really has. And Russia has just, as an entire entity, has been told, you guys are dodgy as all hell and you are banned. But just have a guess, how many Russian athletes have been banned from Sochi?
Okay.
60.
85.
No.
Were we even close?
21. Sorry, 21 medalists. Because no one cares about you if you don't get the medals, right? So
if you're just a competitor.
21 Russian athletes from the Sochi Winter Olympics have been banned.
Mm.
Don't want to go through their names?
Do you want to go through their names, Ben?
No, probably not. Probably not go through that one. Didn't do so well in the first five. It is the Springboks final match this weekend against Wales for the year of 2017. And much like Tiger's comeback, well, who knows? People are very much on the fence here. Although, with the box, they're playing a Welsh team that isn't exactly at their top at the moment, but they will be without Franco Mostert, Francois Lowe and Dwayne Vermeulen. It falls outside of the international window. So Elton Junchies apparently is also not going to be there, but he is there. I don't know. I can't keep up with that kind of stuff. So Alistair Kutsia now has to make some changes in the forward pack, and he has to play some people who are inexperienced. He hates doing it because this is a man who is desperately holding on to his job. He's not coaching the box towards greatness. He's holding on to his job with the tightest of tight grips. That's all he's doing. That's all I can describe it as. So it's not good for the team when your coach is doing that. It's like just survival. You know, can you imagine if you got a family and it's led by a father who's just trying to stay sober, not do anything for your life. He's just trying to hold into his own interests. That is where the Bok team is right now. And it is a horrible set of affairs. Other than that, well, not a whole bunch of sport. It is a Tuesday after all. But look out for this weekend's rugby. I'll get more into it as we get closer. But a lot of people are speculating this is Alistair Garcia's last match. He's going to get the flick after this. So his team selections are going to be very interesting. So By my estimations is that he's not going to make any big changes because he'd rather just not give away caps. If it's going to be his last one, he'll stick to his tried and tested. He'll try eke out, again, a moral-building 6-point win, and then at least he'll say, well, you can't fire me because I won my last three games. France, terrible. Italy. Wales, also not their best.
Okay.
I don't think he's achieving anything by this. Anything at all. And there's your sport for this Tuesday. But before I forget, you spent the year paying for school fees, sport activities, new clothes, and electronics that are about to become obsolete. You've given everything to your kids this year. Isn't it time for something special for you? Mender Land Rover has an answer to this question and is the new Range Rover Velar. A true first of its kind, the Range Rover Velar combines elegant design, sophisticated technology, a luxurious interior, and distinctive Range Rover all-road performance. It's simply everything you can desire from a modern vehicle. Be one of the first to experience the car that will take you anywhere and everywhere with consummate ease by visiting menlyn.landrover.co.za or give them a call 012-369-2400 to arrange a test drive. Better yet, head on down to the new improved Land Rover Menlyn, located on 221 Grasfontein Road, just off the N1 highway in Menlyn. My sport today was brought to you by Land Rover Menlyn. Check them out on those details, and we'll know how it's actually made Gareth a lot happier. Have you noticed, since you've been driving these cars, he comes in here, he's a little bit happier.
Yeah, he's also got like a bit of a swag to him all of a sudden.
When he leaves, he walks down the stairs. Did you see the Range Rover Sport he had yesterday?
Yeah.
That is big.
It's like a soft gold and
massive.
That's probably why he's not even here now. He's probably just driving that car. Anyway, Sia, over to you and the Said by Sia. Hang on a second. There's a message here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it wasn't for Sia.
Okay.
No, okay, that's rude.
Oh.
No, this person is saying that he really will slap you now.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, Sia, carry on. Said by Sia today.
Begin with All of a Saturday.
All of us. No, I'm joking. Okay. So, this morning, I want to talk about the musician Drake. So, he has recently done something which I believe is the real type of impact we need in these times. So, the musician recently stopped his concert to call out a man in the crowd who kept groping women. So he was hosting an after-party event on his tour of Sydney, Australia, when he stopped mid-performance to call out this man in the crowd who kept groping women. The audio's not the best, but take a listen and I'll explain afterwards.
Hello, Drake's music.
If you don't stop touching girls, I'm going to come out there and fuck you up, man. Don't stop putting your hands on girls, I'm gonna come out there and fuck you up myself.
Wow, he has eyeballed this guy hard.
Properly.
It'd be really great if the crowd just turned on this guy. I mean, look, not that
and
I'm defending.
It just goes back to music. As
not
it
that
was.
I'm defending this man because I'm against such behavior, but Drake has sexy music. So for people who can't control themselves, this guy should not have gone to this concert. I mean,
no.
That's a red rag to a bull.
Shit. Did they throw the guy out or did he just stop?
We don't really know what happened to this guy. I was waiting for like the cameras to pan to this guy so that we actually get to see him. So if you missed it, while Drake was on stage, he could continuously spot this creep of a man groping girls around him in the crowd. So mid-song, Nochal, Drake just stops and says, "Yo, stop that shit. If you don't stop touching girls, I'm going to come out there and fuck you up." Z, and that's when the audience just went wild with approval.
See, and that's the only language that sex offenders actually understand.
You just got to be blunt.
You can't say, "Sorry, sir, could you please stop inappropriately touching that girl in front of you who does not like your attention?"
No.
Those words would be lost.
You got to speak in their language.
And also wouldn't help great Drake's street cred if you were to use those words.
Well, I mean...
You don't stop putting your hands on girls, I'm going to come out there and fuck you up myself.
Which would have been kind of interesting to watch.
Look, yeah. and that's where, because not to take anything away from Drake, because, you know, constantly women will say, but, you know, guys need to, like, defend us and speak up for us when things like this happen. So it's great that Drake did that.
Mm.
But Drake also has 5,001 bodyguards ready.
There we go.
Ready to step in any eventuality.
Well, that's not fair, buddy.
But
he would have done it if it was just him.
I'm just saying.
Sidebar, have
but
you seen
good
his
for him.
Instagram
good for him.
Lately? He's been clapping the gym, but
he has been,
so I'll give him that. And this is what I'll have to say about the entire matter. I am the last person to advocate violence. It isn't about that. For me, it is about the fact that he's made it pretty damn clear that he will not tolerate this. And
that's good. He's taking a stand. I mean, yeah. all jokes aside, there shouldn't be a gray area here.
Yeah.
And he acted on it. So good for him.
And what I think is most powerful is the fact that action is being taken. We know and we've seen and we've been bombarded for the longest of time recently in the news headlines around sexual harassment, with the Weinsteins, the Spaceys, the O'Reillys of the world. And I think this is how true action takes place. It's not about billboards. It's not about, I hope there's not some brand sitting out there thinking, oh, let's book a bunch of celebrities and let's create this public service announcement. Because that's not how you get proper change. It's yeah. about moments like these when you're confronted with something and you do or you speak out. You know, it's not just about saying 15 years later, oh, well, they did this to me as well. No, I think it's about the mere fact that you don't turn a blind eye and you don't have this thought of, oh, that's just how men are, or, oh, that's just how things have always been. But it's about paying attention and making sure that you take action. So this morning on Said by C, I wanted to salute and congratulate Drake and the fact that evidently the voices of everyone speaking out about sexual assault haven't been in vain. And listen, Drake fans, as if you needed another reason to be obsessed with this guy. So awesome, Drake. I think this is great.
And if you are in a public setting where you feel like the person doing the groping will probably fuck you up, then get a few other people around you and then start shouting it out.
Yeah.
Strength in numbers. Yeah. Just always think about how you can make the difference, because it doesn't just have to be, oh, well, it's just me.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people don't actually like this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't have to it doesn't have to resort to violence. Just
it doesn't, but point public, it out. Public humiliation and just calling things out is always a good move.
Yeah.
Right. Sure, time does fly when you're in the seat. Hey? So, yeah, can we find the air conditioner here, please? I feel like I'm Bikramming yoga in the studio this morning.
We shall find a remote, sure.
So, Auto Central, you know they're doing amazing things with cars. Yesterday, at the Auto Central... The Auto Central team reported back on the Auto Circus event that featured the Gymkhana grid. Now, I know you think Gymkhana, you probably think horses, but it's amazing what cars do around this whole thing. So, in-studio guest Devin LaRue shared understanding and insights into the world of vehicle auctions. That's interesting. Because people, you know, sometimes don't know how to pay for things or they lose money. Vehicle auctions are a big deal in this country.
Yes, they are, and they're a great way to actually save yourself a few thousand rand.
Exactly. This is buying savvy. So, plus the Auto Central team also chatted about the launch of Tesla's latest product innovation, the electric truck. Get this podcast now, which is powered by Auto Trader. Go to cliffcentral.com on the app and you'll find the Auto Central guys. Their stuff, I mean, they are a team of experts, Mubs. I know there's a lot of podcasts out there where we listen to them because we want insights of one person. This is a team. These guys, they live cars, they get everything together, and that show comes out to you. Auto Central. Right. Sure, I'm bushed already, huh?
Yeah, do you want to...
How about you guys?
Do you want to call it a day? Is that, like, do you want
to... it a day at 7 a.m.
Well, how about this? How about we get the air conditioning going,
yeah, well.
Have a cup of tea, and see where we can go from there? Amanda, what do you think about that plan?
Sounds great.
Okay.
Yes, Ben.
All right, so that. Look, unanimous. Look at me. I can just get a majority in the studio. No time at all. If you do want to get involved in the show, like everyone else, of course, the WhatsApp line 0797482090. Listening live, this is from someone on the WhatsApp. Been driving since 3:30 on my way to Vryheid.
Oh. Shucks.
My last drug dealing trip of the year. I'm a pharmaceutical rep. Thank you for a good show.
Okay. People, thank you for adding that last sentence.
People have the problems they need to be dispensed to. Well done. Listening to cliffcentral.com. Ben, have you tried the show Mindhunter on Netflix? I haven't. You guys?
I've heard a lot of good things
like
about it.
It's like the 17th time it's been recommended.
What?
Recommended to me. Yeah, I should definitely get on that. Sia, you will love this. I hate Christmas songs. This is just brilliant. She has autism. Okay. Look, we don't see videos, audio clips, or anything like that.
Oh, I thought that was an artist's name. Like, who are they calling themselves? She has autism. But okay, I'll get it off the system somehow, and I'll take a listen. Thank you.
Harry's swirly child sure is going to be an interesting flavor. Orange, choc, vanilla. Didn't think of it
orange.
Like that.
Where does the orange?
Well, Harry's a ging.
Oh, okay.
Are you allowed to say that?
What, Harry?
No.
Speaking about the guy, what else? What else do you want?
I don't know
ging
what.
And orange.
I don't know what the rules are with the redheads. What you're allowed to say or not.
Look, guys, I'm just filling in for Gareth. Okay, stop judging my every move. Jesus. Yes, Ben, Tiger is back. Yay. Have a fantastic day, guys. I cannot start my day without this show. Well, either can we. mostly because, well, it's my job. Hey, Tavo says, so glad you brought this cryptocurrency thing up. I want to start mining Bitcoin. Can you guys do a short beginner's guide on how to start mining Bitcoins, including the kinds of hardware I'll need? And if it's a feasible, the whole shebang, you can even upload the info on the Cliff Central website. Tavo, I am not a specialist on this, but mining Bitcoin is hugely expensive. I still don't really get it. Basically, you've got to have really... Okay, I'm probably talking out my ass here, but I'll give it a go anyway. If you need really expensive computers, you need lots of servers on the go, and you need to kind of find your way onto this blockchain, and even then, there's no guarantee, and you are literally just trying very, very hard. Now, when you think one Bitcoin is what, 100 and... I don't know. It's my phone.
Oh,
phone's not here. I've lost my phone. Oh, there it is.
It's behind your laptop.
One Bitcoin is 100 and, it's almost 170,000 rand. Look at that.
Shucks.
My bully cryptocurrency over here. Straight away on the app. So 170,000 rand for one Bitcoin. You're going to spend so much money. I mean, I don't know what happens when you mine this, but I mean, I imagine mining Bitcoin is like Amanda going fishing. It's going to be very, very hit and miss, with a lot more miss than hit. So, Tabo, I'm not going to discourage you, and I will try get Gareth to chat to Ryan about this. A message has come through as I'm reading this saying, don't mine Bitcoin, rather just trade it. Yeah, Tabo, you know what? Reach for the sky, reach for the stars, and if you fail, you end up in the clouds and all that kind of stuff. But I think when it comes to mining Bitcoin, it's going to take a whole bunch of money. So that is the first hour with us. Thanks for joining us. If you're listening via podcast, we'll download the next one too, because it's going to be even better, because my buddy will bring you the news and then we'll chip in and Gareth will maybe get here as well. If you're listening live, we'll stick with us, because I've got a special treat for you this morning.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Because I got so much stick. Well, I got like 55% stick and 45% support for what a dickbag Eminem is. But you know what? It's not about me. It's about you. So here's Guts Over Fear, Eminem featuring a far more talented artist, because that's his game plan. He has shit songs, but he at least has someone like Sia also singing. It's too late to start over.
This is CliffCentral.com.